Spirit. So we, Lord, we ask that your Spirit come dwell with us. Richly bless us, Lord. Help us to see what it is you would have us know. Speak to us now, Father. Open our eyes and our ears. We can see, hear, and know that you are here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. We like to use that phrase, Happy Sabbath, quite a bit. We come to church here and we just, Happy Sabbath, happy, happy, happy day. And you know, the thought occurs to me that this is not a very happy day for a lot of people. Now, folks, I am very thankful that I'm here in God's church with his people. Amen? But you know, there's the door and the windows, and that not very far out there is the rest of the world. And if you folks are paying any attention to what's going on, I just downloaded this from the internet. I don't know if you can see it, but it says, natural disasters become more catastrophic. Anything like that going on lately? Drastic increase in earthquakes, floods, and droughts. And this, by the way, is dated May 20th. So that's just a couple days ago. Should be no surprise to anyone that our world has been beset by so many calamities and natural disasters that I am now reading about what's called relief fatigue. How many have heard of that? Relief fatigue. You know, the rest of the world, they donate and they give money and they, hey, we're going to go and we're going to go into Myanmar and help the people out there. And oh, goodness sakes, now there's an earthquake in China. Now there's a volcano someplace else that's going off. And there are so many different things that are going on that people are getting tired of all these different calamities that are going on. And they're just saying, enough already. What's going on? Folks, it is a happy day. Some of you might remember a number of years ago, an insurance company, I won't mention their name, but you'll know them right away, they came up with a very clever gimmick. And they would say, they would have somebody say, well, you know, our house just burned down and the dog died and my wife ran away with the milkman, but I got good news. I just switched my insurance to another company. Well, folks, there's been an earthquake in China, terrible storms in Southeast Asia, earthquakes all over the place, volcanoes blowing their tops. But I got good news. Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, this was our reading. And we're just going to go, first of all, we're going to go to verse 8. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8. The prophet speaking under inspiration says, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. Now, have we not been waiting for the Lord God? Have not the church been preaching this message? We are waiting for the Lord. The Bible says, this is our God. We have waited for him. But it's been a long time. It's been a very long time. 2,000 years, roughly, since the Lord was here in the flesh. It's been a long time. But we have waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name. Isn't that what we want? We want to be called by his name. We are called Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And to the remembrance of thee. Ooh, to the remembrance of thee. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is all part of what we're here for. We're all here because we want to be called by his name. We're following the law. We're keeping Jesus Christ in our heart. But there's a lot of people who are not very happy. Verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Now, when do we really draw close to the Lord? When everything is good and fine, or when it's dark? When you're in the blackness of night? That's when we really call upon the Lord. When things are going on, we don't understand what's happening, we call upon him. My soul desired thee in the darkness of the night. Yea, with my spirit within me, I will seek thee early. If you remember the day of Pentecost, when everybody came together, they heard the wind, and they saw the apostles all speaking in tongues. And the apostle Peter stood up and he said, the people asked him, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Start early. Repent of your sins. Get a head start on it. I will seek thee early. I want to start now. I want to start yesterday." Now, if you have, if you're someone who likes to underline or highlight in your Bible, I'd invite you to either mark this next passage or underline it or highlight it. "For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Let me say that again. "For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Folks, I don't want to come out and say that all these earthquakes and tsunamis and tidal waves and everything else are the judgments of God, but the Bible does tell us that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. This is all part of the picture that the Lord God gave us. And so people are asking questions. They want to know what's going on. What is happening, folks? Is this just, as the scientists say, well, it's just that natural thing, you know, the earth goes through all these fears. This just happens from time to time. We just happen to be unlucky enough to live in one of those times. Whether it is or not, we know that the Lord is coming. Amen? So what are we to do about it? Turn with me again in your Bible to the book of Jonah. Yes, the book of Jonah. What? Jonah? Come on, John, that's a bedtime story. Yes, turn with me to the book of Jonah. We're going to take another short look at this passage because there is something here that so many times we talk about Jonah in the belly of the whale, and then he goes and he preaches and everybody says, "Hallelujah, amen." And there's something else here. In this very short story is encapsulated the great controversy. We're going to look at it. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Not a very long story, so it won't be too long, but let's go for it. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Well, you know, we were talking today about the intensity of the ministry, and we were talking about maybe you should put yourself in the shoes of these people that were called forth to go into the world. So I would like to do that right here. I would like to maybe change this a little bit, and I would like to put my name and invite you to put your name in there. "Now the word of the Lord came unto John Williams, and he said, Arise, go to that great city and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up against me." Oh, well, Lord, I'll go, but not there. There's a war going on there. The Middle East, I might get killed. You know, Lord, I'll go, but not to China. They just had a massive earthquake over there, and who knows, there's disease, and it's dirty, and I might get hurt. And I'll go, Lord, but not to Africa. There's nothing to eat there. They're starving. I could die of starvation over there. I'll go, Lord, but not to the Kalihi. There's a lot of drugs over there. You know, I could get stabbed. I'd go, Lord, but not to Waianae. A lot of homeless people out there. Oh, yes, go. Go to that great city and cry against it. But Jonah, or John, rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Okay, a couple things here. Tarshish, you know, I looked this word up online, and there's a lot of different meanings for the word Tarshish. Obviously, it was a city. Some people think it might have been in Spain. Some people think it might have been in Greece. There's a lot of different meanings to the word Tarshish. But one I found that was intriguing was that Tarshish is not necessarily a place but a long journey. Oh, so Jonah rose up to Tarshish, a long journey from the presence of the Lord, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Now, ships. Where do you normally find a ship? In the desert? In the mountains? On the water, right? You find a ship in the water. Okay? Now, for those who are up on biblical symbology, what does water represent in the Bible sometimes? Peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. So Jonah goes to a ship on the waters to flee from the presence of the Lord. And he even paid money. He paid good money to get on this boat and to go from the presence of the Lord onto Tarshish. But you know, the Lord God's not going to let his prophets, he's not going to let his people go. Not off that easily. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken. Okay, what do winds represent? Wind represents strife, warfare, possibly even pestilences, all these different things we've been talking about. Another thing that I downloaded. Did you see this? This was on TV like 2 days ago. Mile wide tornado hits Colorado. Did anybody see the video of this? It was awe inspiring. At the bottom where it touched the ground, it was a mile wide. That's pretty scary. Across the USA, fires rage, waters wane, snow continues to fall. Are the winds of strife hitting our country right now? Are they hitting the entire world? Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. Now, Jonah, God's people, has fled into a ship in the midst of the waters. And there is a storm that is brewing upon the waters. Then the mariners, verse 5, then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God. And now pay attention to this. Pay very special, close attention. And they cast forth their wares that were in the ship. They cast them into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah had gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay down and was asleep. How many have heard of the Church of Laodicea? How many have heard that phrase? The Church of Laodicea, that lukewarm church, and we're just having a party and everything's okay, and you know, I'm kind of sleepy and everything's just fine. I know the end. We know the end from the beginning, don't we? We're not worried. When we say happy Sabbath, we mean happy Sabbath. Are you happy? Yes or no? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm happy. You're happy. As long as I know the end from the beginning, I'm happy. I'm not worried about what's going on. Let the storms rage. Let the volcanoes spew. Let the earthquake. Let the tsunamis come in. I'm okay. I know where I'm at. I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen. But the mariners were afraid. Now the mariners, they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know about God. And they cast their wares into the sea. The things that were so important to them, they got rid of them. They cast them into the ocean. But Jonah went down into the sides of the ship to go to sleep. Verse 6. Circle this verse. So the shipmaster came unto him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Time to wake up, church. It's time to wake up. The shipmaster comes to him and says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, so that if God should think upon us, that we might not perish. Anybody remember a story about the disciples who got into a boat and Jesus got in the boat with them? And Jesus fell asleep, and a storm came up. You know, the Bible talks about several different storms. We're going to look at another storm. There's one here in the Old Testament, the one here in Jonah. We're going to look at another one in the New Testament. Jesus fell asleep, and the disciples, what did the disciples say to him? Don't bother the Lord. We'll just bail out. We can all swim pretty good. What did they say to him? They woke him up. Don't you care? Call upon your God. And Jesus calmed the storm. Now here, the shipmaster is telling Jonah, call upon your God that we perish not. Well, apparently, they didn't wait for Jonah to call upon the Lord God, because in verse 7 it says, and everyone said to his fellow, come, let us cast lots. Now we were talking about the great controversy. Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. And so they cast lots, and of course the lot fell on Jonah. Is anybody surprised? Absolutely not. The Lord God would have it any other way? Of course the lot's going to fall on Jonah. He's God's people. The lot was cast upon Jonah. Verse 8, then they said to him, they, the people of the ship, the people that don't know the Lord, what did they say? Tell us. Tell us. We pray thee. Tell us. For whose cause does the evil come upon us? And what is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people thou art? They want to know. They've already cast their wares into the sea. For them, life is pretty much over. Their life is passing through. And here's Jonah, asleep in the ship. All these different things going around. The people of God asleep in the ship because they know the end from the beginning. They're not worried. What about the rest of the world? They're worried. And so now they're asking him, tell us, what's going on? How come? How come you're sleeping? And everybody else here is, we're scared to death. What do you know that we don't? Amen? Of course, Jonah's response in verse 9, and he said to them, well, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Ooh, that's a familiar passage of scripture. The creator who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Do you see a connection here to the Sabbath? Part of what God says, the seal of God? Jonah had his theology correct. He knew who God was. He knew who he was. And he knew the end from the beginning, or at least he knew pretty much what was coming. So he wasn't worried. Everybody else was. So he had it right. The seal of God. Verse 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. Not just afraid. They were exceedingly afraid. Before they were afraid, they'd throw the wares into the ocean. Now they're exceedingly afraid. Afraid. And what do they tell him? They ask him, why have you done this? What was this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. The world is saying to God's people, why have you done this? Why haven't you told us about the Lord? Why haven't you told us the truth about the Sabbath? Why haven't you told us about the truth of what's going on? How come you've kept this to yourself? How come you're asleep in our ship? How come you're not telling us these things that are going on? Amen? Folks, those of you who think that the Lord God is going to come wake you up out of your sleep, that, you know, the lightning's going to strike and the dove is going to come down on your shoulder and you're going to hear that voice from heaven, here is my prophet, hear him, hear her. If you're waiting for that to happen, it's not going to happen, because the Lord God is not going to wake you up. The world is going to wake you up. They're going to come get you. Why? Church is asleep. We're calm. We're not panicking, or we shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Why? We know the end from the beginning. If you have the Spirit of God in you, should you be afraid? Yes or no? No. You should know what's going on. We all know we have the testimony. We have the spirit of prophecy. We have all these different writings. We see the end from the beginning. We're not afraid. The world sure is. And they said to him, "Why hast thou done this?" Of course, you know the rest of the story. They asked him, "What should we do to you?" Jonah says, "You must cast me into the sea." Now, you know, I've got some Navy people here, and even the people who have not been sailors, you all heard of the code of the sea. The code of the sea is nobody goes in the water. Nobody goes in the water. So when you're at sea, the last thing you ever want to have happen is that ship goes down and you go into the water, because that's certain death. They didn't want to pick him up and throw him in the water. They didn't want to do it. They tried of their own selves to escape the storm, but they couldn't. And so finally, eventually, they said, "Lord, charge us not with this crime." And Jonah goes overboard. Now, what happened when they threw Jonah overboard? Didn't the sea immediately cease? You know, if you go down to verse 16, Jonah chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly." Before, it just says that they were exceedingly afraid. Verse 10 says they were exceedingly afraid. Verse 16 says, now they feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. Now, what do you think happened to these sailors when maybe 6 months or a year or 2 years in the future, they learned that this guy, Jonah, that they threw overboard, survived? What do you think that did to their faith? You think it increased their faith? And we were just talking about the intensity of our walk, the intensity of our mission. Do you think Jonah walked into Nineveh and just kind of kicked some stones around and said, "Well, you know, this Lord's going to destroy this place in 40 days. No, when he began to speak, when he began to preach, he had an intensity. The people listened to him. You're not going to go through an experience like he did and just go, "Well, if you guys are ready." You're going to take people by the scruff of the neck and you're going to tell them, "You better get ready. You better get prepared." There's a message in here for us. There is a message in here for us, because the men cast their wares into the sea. Talked about two storms. This one here in the Old Testament with Jonah. We already talked a little bit about the one where Jesus was in the boat. But there is another storm. It's in the New Testament. It's in the book of Acts. I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at this other storm. We're going to look at this from a different perspective. Those of you who know this story know that the Apostle Paul was being taken to Rome, and he was on a ship. And as they were going through, they were sailing at the wrong time of the year. Paul told them that not to do it, but they did it anyways. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 18, says, "We, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." What did they do? They lightened the ship. In other words, they cast their wares into the sea. You see a common theme here? When men are afraid, they begin to cast away those things that they thought were important. And verse 19, "And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." Great. Not only have we lost the cargo, now we've lost the tackling. Paul, in verse 22, says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. Why? For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but only of the ship. That's good news. What is the ship? The ship is the vessel that goes through the waters, the peoples, the multitudes, the nations, the tongues. In other words, the cities, the things that we have built, our cars and our stereos, our cell phones and our whatever we got, our PDAs. I don't even know what we have nowadays. All these things that we've got, all these little toys that we think are so important, you are going to be casting them into the sea because they are going to lose their importance. Your salvation is what's going to be important. And the Lord is telling you, the ship is going to be lost, but you will be saved if you follow the Lord. He says, verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Who do you serve? What God do you serve? Do you serve the great I Am, or do you serve the great Sony? Do you serve the great Hewlett Packard? Do you serve the great iPod? Whose God are you serving? I serve the Lord God. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given them all that sail with thee. Is that good news? You know, when we're in the world and people are tossed by the tempest and they want to know, Jonah went down and slept in the bottom of the boat. The world came and they woke him up. Tell us what's going on. What is happening? Paul says, fear not. Don't be afraid. This is going to happen anyways. It says, you must be brought before Caesar. You are going to be brought before Caesar. Okay, well, we don't have Caesars anymore. Who do we have? Presidents, prime ministers, pope. You are going to be brought before them. Wherefore, verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let me read that again. For I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. You know, we're talking about all these different storms and all these different tragedies and these different calamities that have beset our world. Jesus told us of these things a long time ago. In Mark chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus says, but take heed, fear not, behold, I have told you all these things. Folks, the world wants to know what's going on. There's a lot of fearful people out there. We as a church, collectively, sleeping? Laodicea? Time to wake up. You see, men are casting their wares into the sea. And they're going to come get you. Because you, God's people, you're not afraid. Isn't that what it says? Fear not. Are you afraid? Shouldn't be. If you know what's coming, you're not afraid. The world is going to see this. They're going to want to know, how come you're not afraid? What's going on? Tell us what's going on. Now, they cast their wares into the sea. They have nothing. What do you have to give them? Have you been fortifying your mind and your heart with the Word of God? Have you been fortifying your heart? Do you have something to give them? They no longer have anything. The things that they thought were important, they've cast them away. Now they want to know, what do you know? And by the way, while I'm on this, how many have heard about the bridge from here to California? No, there isn't one. It'd be impossible. They can't even build a bridge from here to Maui or something like that. The just too different, too difficult. They couldn't do it. The oceans around here, or the waters around here, are too rough. The only way you're going to get over there is by boat or airplane. Boats and airplanes, they both run off of something called oil. Anything going on with oil lately? Yeah, price has been going up and up and up and up out of sight. What do you think that's going to do to the things that you might want to have? Well, it's going to make them get more expensive to the point where you might not be able to get them. The time to start preparing your heart and your mind is now. You remember when the Pharaoh had that dream about the 7 fat cows and the 7 skinny cows? Joseph said, yeah, we're going to have 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. You better start preparing now. Don't wait till the famine hits, and then you're trying to get things together and trying to fortify your heart and your mind and trying to get something for the world, because they're going to want something. They're going to want to know, what do you know? You're going to give a Bible study to 15,000 people at the same time? Maybe. But I think more or less, we're going to have to give them something. Give them of your time. Give them of your heart. Give a Bible study. You want to order them? Order them now. Might not be able to get them later. Fortify your heart and your mind now, because the famine is coming. I would dare say it's already begun. We're seeing things happen more and more, and it's going to be more difficult for you to prepare yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, as things heat up and as things intensify. This is the time. It's time to wake up, church. It's time to wake up and fortify your heart and your mind with the Word of God and what's coming, because the world is going to come wake you up and say, tell us what's going on. How come you haven't told us? How come you haven't told us about Jesus Christ? How come you haven't told us about all these things? Tell the people what's going on. Even if it hurts, even if they say to you, what, are you a Christian? I've had people tell me that. They've questioned my Christianity. Tell them. Let them know what's going on. They need to hear it. If nothing else, it's going to drive them back to the Word of God and say, are these things so? This is part of what Sister White wrote about. This is part of the great controversy, because there is so much biblical illiteracy out there. I'm amazed that people at work that I work with, they never even heard of the story of Jonah. I grew up with it as a bedtime story. Very ironic, we're talking about waking up by reading a bedtime story. Amen? It is time for us. There's no better time to fortify your heart and your mind. Don't be like Jonah, who says, you got to cast me into the sea. Be like Paul, who says, there was standing beside me the Spirit of God saying to me, you can survive. You can make it. How? Get the Lord God into your heart. Give them this word. Give them this grain. This they will not cast into the ocean. Their stuff, their money, their jewels, that's going over to the side. The Word of God planted in their heart, that's not going anywhere. Amen? Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that as we contemplate these things, as we look at how you are leading your church, your people, Father, we pray that you would impress upon us the enormity of the work that is now before us. For the world is coming. They want to know, Lord. Help us, Father. Give us courage to speak. Give us courage to stand up. So, Lord, it is a difficult time. Thank you, Father, for the joy and the peace you have given each one of us. And, Father, help us to reach out to those who are perishing, those who don't know this truth. Give us strength and courage. Open our eyes and our ears, Lord, that we can become your workers together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? Okay, we have a change in our closing hymn. It's Rescue the Perishing, and I think it's 367, 376. John, are you supposed to lead that? Rescue the perishing.
I'd like to test someone too.
Hello, does this thing work?
Okay, we'll use my voice. Sister Juana Valencia wanted me to announce to everyone that this is graduation.
Yeah, 367.
In the next couple of weeks, Doris is going to be graduating from Leavenworth High School on May 30th, and Symphony will be graduating from HMA. And they will have two ceremonies, May 31st at the Central Church and June 1st at the Blaisdell Concert Hall. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. I was supposed to make that announcement, but you beat me to it. Yeah. No, but you.
Yeah. She texted me right in the middle of prayer.
So the congregation stand and turn in your hymnals to page 367. Rescue the perishing. Father, for the message.